Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, well, good day, everyone, and welcome to All Talk with Jason Mike. And I can tell you that we are broadcasting today from a magnificent location, Generator, down at the Britomart. And I tell you what, Mike, we've broadcast from a few places now, but this is top quality. We've got beautiful views across the harbour. Yeah. The staff have been absolutely amazing. They've made us all coffees. They've got fresh water for us. Mate, I'm stoked with the service thus far.
It's bloody good, isn't it? And you've also got your Wi-Fi. There's all sorts of plugs here. I've got all my gadgets plugged in. Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, mate, but we've actually got a telescope.
I did notice that, actually.
Yeah. So that's pointed directly at, I saw you were having a little look through it, and I don't know if that's what you should be doing with a telescope.
Well, look, I mean, the idea of a telescope, in my defence, Mike, is that you look through it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know about you, but if I find myself in a room with a telescope that's high up, I can't help but scan the landscape outside just to see what's going on in the world.
That's right.
Just to get an idea of what people are doing. It's always great. I always like catching people in a domestic situation.
Yeah.
Because I find that when you're looking through the telescope, watching that domestic situation, you know, I find that something appealing about it.
Well, there's as the actor in you, isn't it, Jace?
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
It's that human behavior that, you know, they don't know that they're being watched. So they're so honest in what they're doing. And, you know, does that make you a perv? Sure, it does.
Oh, well, some people would say I'm a perv. Yeah. I mean, there's been times, because of my acting,
it's pronounced acting.
Acting. I'm a real observer of people. And I genuinely am. So often, you know, like my wife and I will go out to dinner and I'll be at a restaurant and I'll just be observing people.
Mm.
And my wife can actually take a bit of an issue with that. She thinks I'm on some sort of perv sort of scenario.
Yeah.
It's not that at all. I'm just learning my craft whilst enjoying quality food.
It is odd that you're generally speaking, you're observing, you know, woman.
Woman, yes.
And you've never played a woman, though. So I don't know, you know, where you're applying the things that you're learning exactly?
Well, I just like to get different perspectives.
Sure.
And can I just correct you? I have played a woman.
Oh.
Actually, many, many years ago.
Oh.
Not well. When you've got a voice like mine, it's very difficult
now, what
to
was
come
the,
across
Now, I think I remember. I think I remember this. Was this as part of your comedy troupe?
Yes.
That you're in, Sugar and Spice.
Yeah.
What were the names of those characters?
Oh, we had Lucy Tuesday.
Yeah, sure.
We had the Quintelli sisters.
Now, the Quintelli sisters, give me a little bit of that.
A bit of the Quintellis?
Yeah.
Okay. How's it going, honey? You look absolutely fantastic. They were great characters, actually. I loved them. They were two old sort of Hollywood queens.
Sure.
You know, who had gone through and basically made love to everyone in Hollywood, that had some drug issues as well and liked a G&T at the end of the day. Well, throughout the day, to be honest.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I actually have played woman, in my defense.
Yeah.
Sure, I haven't seen any particular woman like the Quintelli sisters, but certainly what I've learned from just general observation.
Sure.
That has helped me in my acting career.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Hey, and coincidentally, it is our woman's special today.
It is our woman's special today.
And I'm really excited about that, mate, because I was concerned because we asked women to write into the show and let us know what they wanted to know about in terms of advice and so forth. We were inundated.
Oh, we were. We were inundated because, you know, you sort of get a feeling that it's mostly blokes out there judging by the stuff that comes in. And I think once that you've set that pattern, other listeners feel a little bit left out and so they don't even try sending things in.
Sure.
You know, women obviously, you know, sort of typically lazy as well, so they don't bother.
Mm.
You know, that plays a part in it. But, yeah, it's poured in, absolutely poured in. We've got some brilliant questions coming in, so we'll be getting through those here at Generator. Now, Generator, just so I can tell you, Jace, this is a shared workspace.
Yeah.
So what you can do is you can hire desks and all that sort of carry on without having to pay you know, to rent a massive office.
Yeah.
You know, if you're popping into town, you get a hot desk, all that sort of carry on. So, yeah, we'll be using it from here on out, I think.
Yeah, they're great stuff, mate. Hey, just on the stuff that's been pouring in from all the women across the world, we've got some feedback, and I want to read that if I sure. could be so bold. Good to hear you back, boys. By the way, I am really wrong, and I certainly would never admit it, but I would apologize. Hope that clarifies the female perspective for you, Donna, over the Insta.
Sure, let's just break that down again. So sure. I am really wrong,
yes.
as opposed to really wrong. Yeah, I would never admit it if I ever was wrong, and yep. I certainly wouldn't apologize. So yeah, that's been my experience. Is that your experience?
But I think you've misread that.
Oh, yeah.
But I would apologise.
Oh, she would apologise. She says, credit where credit's due.
Yeah, good to hear you back. By the way, I am really wrong, and I certainly would never admit it, but I would apologise.
Right.
So the question has to be then, Mike, yeah. from with Donna over the Insta, if you would never admit you were wrong, one could gather from that you would never therefore apologise.
Exactly.
So that's kind of... She's been caught out, if I can put it this way, she's been caught out in her own lie.
Well, yeah, well, what she's saying is she would say that she was sorry, but she would never say the words, I was wrong.
Yeah, right.
You remember the two parts to the discussion.
Oh, yeah,
week.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So I think that's what she's saying.
There. So what she's saying is, you know, I'm right.
Yes.
And I'm not wrong, but I'm perhaps sorry that we've...
Had this disagreement.
Yeah, disagreement. We've had this argument. But let me just clarify, I'm not wrong.
It's a fairly typical thing, isn't it? It's, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah, that's the nub.
Yeah.
Therein, that is the nub, right there. Yeah. It's been really interesting to hear your perspective on it.
Sure.
And I find it interesting that you see it that way. Mm. And I apologize that there's been some conflict, but there is no admission in any way, shape, or form that I have in fact been wrong.
Do you find it harder to say the words, do you say I'm sorry or do you say I apologize?
Are you talking about me personally?
I'm asking you, yeah.
Look, as I say, it reaches a point where unless you do apologize in some way, shape, or fashion, it goes on and on.
I agree.
And you're in that situation whereby you're having to deal with that awkward silence in the lounge.
Yeah.
You pass each other by in the house. Nothing is said. You know, so I'm quite happy to say I apologize.
Sure.
Just so that we can move on.
Yes.
To give her the out.
Right. So rather than saying you're sorry...
Yeah.
You'll say, I apologize. See, I apologize to me is terminology you use when you don't mean it.
Yes.
But you say I'm sorry when you mean it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's really effective, and this is what I do. I actually stop my wife when she's walking past me, and I put my hand on her shoulders, and I look her in the eyes.
Shake her? Give her a good
shake? No, I just gently put my hand on her shoulders, and I say, darling, I apologize.
Oh.
Can I clarify, though? I don't specify exactly what I'm apologizing for.
Yeah.
Simply that I apologize.
Yes.
And that's enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She goes, oh.
Is it enough?
It's her assumption, of course, that I am apologizing for whatever, you know, head-to-head we've just previously had.
Yeah.
Could be something completely unrelated
to
that.
I spilled a cup of coffee in the lounge. I'm actually apologizing for that. So you say, I apologize, and then in your head, you think to yourself, for spilling that cup of coffee.
Yes.
But she doesn't hear that, but does she?
Yeah.
Because you just thought it. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite good.
I apologize. I was very average in bed last night, for example. You know, I wasn't concentrating.
Yeah.
I didn't give you my full commitment. I was thinking about the latest T20 final.
Person on the other end of that telescope.
Yeah, or, you know, mowing my lawns.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I often think about mowing my lawns while I'm making love. So I say, I apologize, I just don't specify.
Yeah, that's smart.
And it's interesting, Donna's saying essentially the same thing, isn't she?
Yes.
So next time my wife, because she says to me occasionally, I apologize. Next time she says that to me, I'm not going to believe it.
Yeah.
Because I know, or what I'll say is, for what?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What are you apologising for? Right.
Yeah, I need some more information.
I want some specifics.
Yes.
You apologise specifically, my love, for what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you. So the first thing we're going to do here is a bit of the old relationship chat.
I think she's cheating on me.
It's relationship advice with Jace and Mike. Hey, boys, chasing a bit of advice. Me and the missus have been together for 6 years now and have decided it's finally time to take the big step and expand our family of two up to three by way of a dog. Problem is, she has her heart set on adopting, while I'm leaning more towards getting that perfect puppy with no pre-existing issues. I have no issue with adopting, but if it means I'd have to settle for some bastard mixed mutt with deep underlying issues, I'd rather not. Am I in the wrong for wanting a nice, beautiful designer dog to be by my side for the next 14 years or so? Cheers, boys. And that's from Thine over the Instagram. Now, there'll be people that are confused about this. I think this is a lesbian lady.
Right, okay.
Okay, so that's not from a guy saying, my missus. I think it's from a lady saying from a missus.
Right. What was her name again?
Well, it's not an actual name, but it's Fine something or other. It was a weird name.
Okay.
It was a pseudonym, a nom de plume.
Yeah, okay, nice. So essentially what she's saying is, I don't want a munty dog. I want a pretty thoroughbred dog with no underlying issues. Because we've discussed this on previous podcasts whereby, strangely enough, the more munty the animal in terms of the SPCA, the more popular they are. Case in point, your tripod cat.
That's right.
I mean, which I've always found interesting, because we talked about the factor of the sympathy factor that already exists when you go to the SPCA.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You feel, because they've been abandoned. So there is that. But you chop a leg off, you know, and it's a little bit more munty. That sympathy factor once again goes up the scale a little bit.
Sure. And I've had some thinking about that. You know, I sort of see them as being defective, so I would never want one. But the advantage of having one of those is you don't have to take them for walks, because I loathe the walk.
Yeah.
I don't like taking the dog for a walk. I don't want to go for a walk. So if they're a three-legged, it would be cruel to take them for a walk.
Sure.
Funny.
Yeah.
But cruel. So well, I see the advantage
of that.
Can I
just say, though, I've never taken a cat for a walk, a three-legged cat.
Have you not?
No, or a four-legged cat. But no, but I know what you. In this particular occasion, we're talking about puppies.
Yeah. I was specifically thinking about puppies. Although that said, when I used to live on Oriental Parade, there was an elderly lady that had a white Persian cat.
Right. Okay.
And she lived in one of the apartment buildings there, and she used to take that cat for a walk on a leash.
Right.
And that was weird.
Yeah, it is a little bit weird. Yeah. I've seen people walking their cats. It is a strange
phenomenon. On a leash.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what I find really weird too is what often happens too is that people adopt old dogs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That whose families have moved somewhere and they can't have them anymore. And you get this rat-ass old mutt that's got, you know, horrendous health issues. I mean, already I'm seeing the vet bill go, you know, out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't understand that philosophy.
No. I mean, you know, people are real charity cases, aren't they, with that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
It's that, you know, really feel the need to help that much. I don't get it. You know, somebody, I think it was in Harborough over the last week or so, went around to somebody's, actually it was Thames, went around to somebody's house. This couple had 48 cats. Mm. And she went around there and it's cost her, and stole essentially all these cats, took them to the vet, and it's cost her thousands of dollars in vet bills when she could have just set the house on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Problem
solved. I totally know, you're
dealing,
I know what you,
you
mean.
You know, you're dealing with the cat issue. You're dealing with the owner issue who insist on collecting all of these cats. You know, just nip it in the bud.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I can understand where she's coming from. I'm like you, Mike. I don't want a defective creature.
No.
I don't want to be forking out money for a defective creature.
Especially someone that it's like paying the, you know, the hospital bills, you know, of a complete stranger.
Well, that's right.
You know.
And the other thing that you've got to think about when you have a dog is the aesthetic of the dog.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I don't want a munty looking dog.
No.
I mean, there's a lot, pugs. I hate pugs.
Labradoodles?
Yeah.
I hate those.
Yeah. Bulldogs?
The bulldogs, no, they slobber all over the place.
Slobbering.
And I don't like an excessively... I don't like an excessively hairy dog.
No.
Because they just leave shit everywhere.
That's right. You know, you can't wear any sort of black. I mean, our dog's got white hair and it's just black. It just leaves white hair all over your upholstery, over your jeans, all that sort of thing. You look, you know, and, you know, I remember when I met my wife and she's covered in dog hair.
Yeah.
You know. And, I looked past it.
Yeah, of course you did.
You know?
Of course you did.
I was charitable as far as that went.
Can I just make an observation about
your dog? She's got a lovely coat.
Yeah, she does have a lovely coat. And she's got a bit of ginger in there too.
Oh, yeah. She's got ginger. Funnily enough, you know they say that dogs look like their owners and vice versa.
Yes.
You know, and it wasn't my dog, it was the wife's. But then I know, you know, you started talking to me about my bulging eyes.
Yeah.
And my dog's got bulging eyes.
Well, I would recall, Mike, and I don't believe that you're on Facebook anymore, but your Facebook picture was of your dog.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought, my God, that's amazing how much you look like your dog, which is, as you point out, quite strange because it isn't actually your dog.
No.
So
maybe that's why I got with the wife.
Yeah.
Was because I could see myself in her dog.
In her dog, yeah. And maybe...
Because I got a bit of ginger in me as well.
Well, conversely, maybe that's what your wife saw in you.
Ah.
That she could see a bit of her dog in you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But getting back to the point in the case in hand...
From Fine. Yeah.
I totally understand where she's coming from.
Sure.
I would insist upon... A purebred, lovely, cute puppy.
Sure.
You know.
But then the problem that comes with this, Jace, is, you know, how much you're willing to pay for this dog.
Mm.
Because as soon as you get into that stuff, you see, you know, I had a mate who paid $600 each for a couple of cats, $1,200 for a couple of Burmese or whatever that was.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
It's lunacy.
And Burmese, overrated. Massively overrated.
Four legs.
Yeah.
I mean, how many do you need?
Yeah, exactly.
Showing off with all
the
eggs.
I mean, in fairness, if it had been a three-legged Burmese, it might have been, you know, $450.
Yeah. Well, probably double the price, actually.
Maybe double the price, $1,200 a pop. But I can certainly relate to the desire to start off in the proper fashion.
Mm.
You don't want to start off behind the eight ball,
no.
i.e. you get this little puppy, it's dribbling everywhere. Maybe its coat is manky.
Yeah.
It probably smells.
Sure. Well, they clean it up down there. But when you go to the SPCA, that's what I like about the place. At least it reeks down there.
Yeah, it does.
God, it stinks.
Of dog wheeze.
Oh, well, yeah. Just
and cat wheeze.
Animals, and they're all yelping. And
Yeah.
You know, it's a foul place.
It is a foul place.
Yeah.
They've
generally got birds down there as well.
I hate birds.
Pecking out their feathers.
Yeah.
And it is true, you know, if you're having to save a dog... If you're having to save a dog, then what's happened that it needs saving? Because obviously they're the one. They say that they're looking after animals, but you're saving it from them killing it.
Yes.
So how good are they if, you know, well, you better adopt this, otherwise we're going to kill it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a fair amount of pressure there.
Well, there is, and it's like holding a gun to your head, really, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, if you don't adopt...
Well, it's holding a gun to the dog's head.
Or to the dog's head and say, if you don't adopt this dog...
I'm pulling the trigger.
I'm pulling the trigger, mate.
Yeah.
It's all over bar the barking.
Yeah. I say to them, go on then.
I dare you to.
Yeah, I go down there every day.
I dare you.
Yeah, and I've never gone
over
the dog.
Yeah.
Ever. Shots ring out, man. Shots ring out when I go down there.
Yeah. As you walk into the car park. Well, you know, I've talked about in the past, you know, my uncle who's a farmer.
Mm.
You know what they do when the dog comes to the end of its reign.
Yeah.
There's no. You know, it's the back paddock.
That's right. There's no loyalty whatsoever.
No.
You know, but the trouble is when you're adopting a dog as well, you know, and you get it home and it seems lovely. It's happy. It's, you know, it's licking you. It's, you know.
Well, you've saved its life, Mike.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I love a dog. Then you get it home, everything's going great, with the kids, all this sort of thing, you know, perfect. What a great dog. Then one day somebody with, you know, red shorts walks by and it just completely loses its mind and attacks the person because it turns out that, you know, somebody with red shorts kicked it when it was a puppy.
Well, yeah.
And it never, ever forgets it.
Yeah.
You know, so they've got these deep psychological problems, which you're not going to know about until the last possible moment.
Yeah. You know. And then you have to deal with that. And then you're getting animal psychologists in.
Yeah.
You know, this is what your dog is traumatized. I mean, I'm not putting up with that sort of shit.
No.
It's interesting because I've mentioned in past podcasts that my dog is actually racist.
Mm.
Cannot and will not abide poodles.
No.
It sees a poodle and goes absolutely apeshit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's from when it was a puppy. Maybe it was attacked by a poodle.
Yeah.
You know, or a labradoodle.
Well, they're just offensive, aren't they?
Well, they're stupid dogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
I mean, my daughter the other day was talking about how she wants to adopt a labradoodle. And I just said, that's not happening. I do not accept that.
Yeah, you can get out of my house.
Yeah, get out is exactly what I said, Mike.
Yeah. It's a bit of a tough one, really. It's,
Is it? I think it's a really easy one.
Well, but it's the money side of things,
isn't
it?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So if you've got the cash, absolutely. But then the point is not so much what do you go for, it's how do you...
Tell your partner.
Yeah. How do you persuade? And, of course, the trick is just go out and buy a dog.
There you go.
You know, discussion over.
Yes.
Because then you say, because she's all about saving animals, your partner.
Yeah.
And so you go out, you buy a dog, and she goes, well, we were going to get one from the shelter. And you go, okay, well, I guess we'll just have to
take this one back
to the shelter.
Yeah. Because that's a great idea, and it was what I was going to suggest as well. You just go out and buy the cutest pure breed puppy,
yeah,
and you bring it home. No one's going to turn that puppy down.
No.
You know, and if her partner says, we were going to get a rescue dog, you go, okay.
You go.
I'll take this little one back. She was all by herself.
Well, take it out the back. Yeah, have your shotgun ready.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just, you know, take it out the back, around the back of the shed.
I'm going out into the back garden, I may be sometime.
Yeah. I'll come back alone. Yeah, that sort of stuff's good. So, yeah, get a rifle.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, it is getting a bit costly, but you ultimately end up with what you want.
Yeah, the important thing is that you get your way.
But fine. What a great question, and thanks for sending it in. Can I crack into another one, Mike?
Yeah, should you?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Attention!
It's General Chat with Jason Mike.
G'day, fellas. In response to your request for questions from the female viewers, here's one for you.
Just a note there, you're a listener, all right?
Yes.
You're not a viewer.
Yes, good point. It's very hard to hold the attention of my boyfriend when I am trying to have a conversation about day-to-day things that involve me, such as work, friendship gossip, or just generally what I've been up to chat. The one time I have seen him most attentive is when he religiously listens to your podcast. In fact, he enjoys it so much that I am not allowed to speak until it is finished, and by then I'm tired and have little to no energy to converse much further. And that got me thinking, do you have any top tips for females trying to draw the attention of their partners away from the things that they become simply engrossed in to become more interested in the beings of a female? Much appreciated, eagerly awaiting a response, Claudia, over the email.
Yeah, she came through over the email. Thanks so much, Claudia. Yeah.
Firstly, can I just say how stoked I am that her boyfriend listens to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And is obviously loving the podcast.
Yeah.
That's a big tick in his box straight
away.
Well,
you know, this is the thing, though. Is he? Or is it the lesser of two evils? He either listens to us or he has to listen to Claudia rabbiting on about work, friendship, gossip, and what I've been up to, chat.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you what the least interesting thing about you, Claudia, are the things that you've got to say. Let me just say that right up front. And that'll vary.
Does your wife listen to this podcast?
Yeah.
She does.
Well, you know.
You see, I'm in the really advantageous position of where my wife doesn't.
Yeah. You thought that about the radio show, and then she texted in.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. The other day.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a shocker.
It was. Well,
incidentally, that's the only time she's listened to the radio show.
Right.
By the way.
Right. That's what she says.
So can I paraphrase in a way the point that you're making? Essentially what you're saying is perhaps this boyfriend isn't necessarily listening to the podcast. He is simply putting it on to signify to Claudia, hey, I can't listen to you right now. I've got the podcast on.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a bluff from him.
Yeah.
Just for a bit of peace and quiet.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, coming home from work, you know, it's not interesting, is it? People talking about what happens at work.
Mm.
And I don't care where you work.
No.
Nobody cares
no.
about what happened at work. Oh, you won't believe what, you know, Judith said to John. So, no, well, I know I wouldn't believe it, and I wouldn't be interested in hearing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it will be something really boring.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
And then you find yourself drawn into this vacuous vortex where you feel obliged to sort of, you know, look as though you're paying attention.
And that you care. And acting like you care.
And that you care, and you ask questions like, oh, which one's Claudia? Which one's Judith again? You know what I mean? And
you've met Judith. She's yeah, been around here. Remember?
You immediately regret asking the question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that just goes round and round. So as soon as you show interest, then you're only encouraging it, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's any different the other way around.
Mm.
You know, do you think, you know, Claudia, when you don't listen to him when he's going on about the cricket
yeah,
or whatever it might be, you know, there's no doubt that he's gotten to the point now where he doesn't talk to you about the cricket.
Yeah.
Because he knows you don't care.
Yeah.
So why do you persist in talking about your work, your friends, your hopes, your dreams? I mean, he doesn't care.
Mm.
And why would he?
Well, the interesting thing is, and, you know, she talks about friend gossip, everyday work chat. I mean, maybe Claudia needs to actually review what she wants to talk about with her boyfriend. Because, as you stated, he's not interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not interested in that.
Yeah.
You know.
And also, you know, it sounds like he's having an affair.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like, you know, if he's not interested in the things that make you tick, the things that you find interesting. I mean, it's possible that he loved you at the start.
Yeah.
But you've come home with all this boring chat and slowly you've just put him off.
Yeah, well, I wonder, because I'm trying to visualize the situation, as you know I like to do, Mike, whether or not the boyfriend is putting on headphones, for example.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And actually, he's not even listening to the podcast.
No.
He just puts on the headphones as a signal to say to his partner, Claudia, I'm listening to stuff. Sorry, baby.
Yeah.
I can't actually.
You know, the cable just goes down
it's under the coffee table, yeah, and there's nothing
just
there.
Just hanging off. You know, it's hanging on the floor there.
Yeah, that's why you see. That's why I went for the cableless headphone.
Sure.
Because then you can pretend like it's just playing.
Yeah, it's Bluetooth, you know, babe.
Bluetooth through the thing, and you don't have to have the cable. Because I got caught out like that.
Right.
I remember once, you know, saying to my wife, I was listening to music. Oh, sorry, babe, I'm just going to listen to some music. And
yeah,
she was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then she picked up the cord and just meticulously followed it to the end, upon which she discovered it was connected to nothing.
Mm.
That wasn't a great scenario. I apologized to her.
Well, you just thought it was a gap between the songs, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I apologized to her, Mike. But once again, as we stated at the start of this podcast, I actually didn't apologize specifically about the fact that I actually wasn't listening to anything. I just didn't want to listen to her.
You say, I apologize.
Yeah,
I apologize. For not plugging it into something.
Yeah.
Doing a bit better of a job of it. Yeah, so it's probable that that your partner here is, you know, he just needs a bit of quiet time to just think about how he's going to back out of this relationship.
Yeah.
So you can probably give him that time, I'd say. Or, you know, our advice is always get in there before they do.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you jump in there and say, I'm out. Hey, I've got something to talk to you about. And he goes, oh, God.
Here we go again. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And actually, no, it's not blah, blah, blah this time.
Yeah.
I'm leaving you.
Yeah.
You know, and once he, you know.
Suck on that.
And once he stops, you know, yahooing and cheering and whooping and hollering,
yeah,
you know, you can work out how to share custody of your dog.
Yeah, and also, you know, divide up all your assets and stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, What you need to do actually before you do that is start doing that anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just start putting stuff in boxes, you know, because I can guarantee you he won't notice.
No.
Because he's reached that point in his life where everything's tedious and yep. he really can't be bothered. He'll just assume you're doing shit and that way you're ahead of the game.
Totally. Just start putting things in storage.
Yeah.
I guess in terms of, you know, there's a couple of stages to this question here. There's a couple of parts. Do you have any top tips for females trying to draw the attention of their partners away from the things that they become simply engrossed in to become more interested in the beans of a female? Right. So we've sort of, we've actually given you advice on something you hadn't even asked about then. Yeah. So
call it bonus advice, mate.
So if your question really is, you know, if I am boring, how do I get my boyfriend to be interested or to feign being interested in me?
Yes.
What would you do there, Jace? Can you even do it? Can it be done?
Oh, look, you know, I'm loath to do this, and I'm loath to suggest it. Sex chat?
Hmm.
You know, I don't know about you. I'm a big believer in discussing our sexuality and where we are and what we can do and try.
I prefer to ignore it.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only thing that really interests me.
Right.
Generally,
well, she could start getting into the cricket.
Or yeah, she could.
You know, why don't you start showing some interest in the things that he likes, like cricket, this podcast?
Can I just make an argument against that though?
Oh yeah.
Nothing gets on my goat more.
Yeah.
Than when my wife starts talking to me about cricket.
No, you're right.
Because that just makes me angry. Yeah, because does this ring a bell to you, mate? What does it mean when the batsman is head on his leg thing and what's LBW, that sort of thing?
Or you know, they walk in, everybody's dressed in white. Who's winning?
Yeah.
You know.
Day one of the test match.
Yeah, halfway through the day.
Yeah, nah.
You know.
Nah.
How many times have I told you?
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's a lot of screaming goes on in the house. Yeah, I mean, how do you draw their attention away? You know, a shallower man would say, you know, dress sexy.
Yeah. A very shallow man would suggest that, Mike. And as I say, I was very reluctant to bring up the whole sex chat thing.
Oh.
I shouldn't have.
I love it when you bring it up.
I should have apologized right there and then.
Or holding a bowl of chips.
Right, okay.
You know?
Yeah, dips are always good.
Yeah, yeah.
And snacks.
Yeah. The way to a man's heart
is through his stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they say, isn't it?
Yeah. So you're saying that what she should do maybe is while he's listening to our podcast, supposedly,
yeah,
she turn up with a bowl of chips and dip.
Yeah, and dressed in a nice tracksuit.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And just place it down there. Don't, the most effective thing you can do is ignore it.
Yeah.
You know, put the food down there, just walk away.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, well, oh, she's not.
Yeah.
You've got to get that mystery. Why is she?
Yeah.
She didn't say anything to me.
Yeah. Why is she doing something selfless?
Yes.
Or thoughtful?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Who's she rooting?
Well, you know, it's like when you bring your wife flowers. Just out of the goodness of your heart.
Yeah.
What have you done?
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought I'd do something nice for my wife.
Yeah.
What have you done?
Yeah.
I haven't done anything, darling. I just thought you like these flowers. I saw them there at the Caltex, I thought I'd buy you some lovely carnations.
How many times have you bought your wife flowers and the next thing you know you're apologising?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Look, I apologise. It was wrong of me and I'll never do it again.
To marry you.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and I think at the end of the day, this could drift on for years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're 45, you're 50, you're 55, 60, and you think to yourself, bloody Nora.
Yeah.
How do we end up here?
Yeah. Is your wife's name Nora?
No, it's not Nora.
And why is she bloody?
It's a turn of phrase. It's part of our vernacular.
It is. No, you're right. Now, well, Claudia, it's difficult. At the end of the day, if your stories aren't interesting, he's not going to listen to you.
No.
Or if you're not a good match for each other, he's not going to listen to you.
No.
You know, my wife and I have great yarns, and I'm sure you do.
Yes.
With yours. If you're a good match, so it sounds like this is you know, it's time to call it, mate.
Yeah.
You know, if it's to the point, look, if you're emailing us, asking us for advice about how to get the attention of your boyfriend, then I'm sorry, but it's over.
Yeah.
You know. Take it round the back of the shed.
Yeah.
And put a bullet in it.
Yeah.
You know, she's
cool it.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, you know, people might think that we're a little bit harsh, but we're just telling it like it is, Mike. And interestingly enough, you know, when we read that out, that was my gut straight away. Yeah. I went, it's over.
Yeah.
He's having an affair. He's not interested. Just get it over with. You know, and sometimes we can be guilty of maybe fart-assing around the edges of an
issue.
That's
right.
But I'd rather cut to the heart of it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people would want to, you know, sort of protect Claudia's feelings.
Yes.
I'm not.
No. Well, you know, and I consider us realists, Mike. I mean, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, I would suggest he's not only having an affair, it's been a long-term affair.
Oh, yeah.
It's been going on for a long time.
And it feels like it might be, you know, with a man. I don't know why I'm getting that vibe.
Okay. Well, sure.
Just that he's, you know, he's not interested in anything you're saying and he's listening to us on our podcast, on the podcast on repeat. You know, you're not young forever, Claudia.
No.
Or Claudia. So, you know, if this guy's not doing it, then you got to move on to the next one as quick as you can. And I just quick fire, just go through all his mates and see which one's the best fit.
Yeah.
You know, start shopping now.
Yes, do.
You know, and it's like getting a new job. You know, never ever leave a job without your new one lined up.
Sure.
You know, you want to jump straight from one job into another job.
Yeah.
You know.
So essentially what we're saying, Claudia, don't even try.
Mm.
Call it now.
Yeah.
But you've got a little bit of time to do a bit of prep.
Yeah.
See what's out there.
Yeah.
So
you've got a brother?
You can just jump from one to the other and just get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Well, hopefully that helps you out, Claudia. What have we got next here, Mike?
Well, this feels like it's relationship as well.
Mm. I had a feeling when we decided to have a women's special that it was going to be very heavily relationship-based.
Yeah.
Oh, mind you, we've talked about pets as well, but in a way that was relationship as well.
Yeah, exactly. Dear Jason Mike, my boyfriend has an obscene amount of foreskin. Sometimes when we are neck deep in the art of making love, I'm skin deep in his hooded monster. It's caused no end of difficulties for the both of us. He often interrupts me to tell me that it's twisted again. I feel like I'm stuck in a rock in a hard place, so to speak.
In a rock in a hard place.
Yeah, I know. You've got your turn of phrase a bit skew-iff there, Ruth. Do I tell him to get circumcised, or do I just make the most out of what I have got here? And that's from Ruth on the Instagram. Well, you've got another option there, Ruth. Just leave him.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, that's Ruth on the Instagram. What do you reckon, mate?
Well, I think first and foremost, starting off, the male genitalia generally is not an attractive thing.
No.
But can I also make the point that an uncircumcised male genitalia is a grotesque thing? And if we're talking about excessive flap, if we're talking about excessive skin, it's, you know, we were talking about pug dogs earlier.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very similar kind of look. I mean, it's disgusting. Let's be honest about it. And I know that you've had your own issues with foreskins, Mike, and we won't get into that. But I can totally understand where she's coming from.
Yeah.
You know, a sort of hooded armadillo kind of scenario is very unattractive.
Yeah.
And it's concerning me that in the throes of their lovemaking, it's becoming twisted.
Yeah.
That really does reek of excessive foreskin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I worry, too, about the cleanliness of the foreskin.
Yeah.
You know, is he cleaning the foreskin? Because there can be a lot of bacteria trapped in an excessive foreskin.
Well, she, you know, Ruth doesn't mention the smell.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's potentially one there. And, you know, it sounds like it's more trouble than it's worth. I had a traumatic circumcision. So I've been on both sides of the fence Had a foreskin for...
Well, it was forced upon you, wasn't it?
For 12 years. And medical circumstances meant that I had no choice but to get circumcised. So I've had it both ways. And, I'd say go with the circumcision.
Yeah.
But, of course, the trouble, Ruth, that's not your decision. It's up to him. You can tell him, but he might not want to. People, men get attached to their foreskins.
Oh, of course they do. Yeah, sure. It's a part of who they are.
Yeah. I still have a mate. He's got this sort of an issue.
Excessive foreskin.
Yeah, and he can fit $300 worth of 10C pieces in his.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's handy.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like to use a wallet.
Well, he doesn't need a belt bag, does he?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't like to use a wallet because when you put it in your pocket, it detracts from the shape of your bottom.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah,
so
yeah, I know.
He just, he sort of carries his, his cell phone and...
I'm just imagining him, purchasing something at the dairy and just peeling back his foreskin and pulling out an FPOS card.
Well, yeah. It takes him a while because it's as big as a sleeping bag, really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is a sleeping bag, isn't it? And if he has got, that many 10-cent pieces, remember the old school telephones? He's constantly peeling it back. Slotting it into the thing, making a call on it.
He'll be in the service station, and he's sort of, it's like a woman rifling through a handbag. He's like, God, I know it's in here somewhere. And he's pulling out, bloody shopping bags, and
and you don't want the scenario because funny you should say that because I did this very thing today with my wife's handbag. I was trying to get the train card.
Right.
She said, the hop card.
Yeah.
There's one in my bag.
Yeah. You've got to narrow it down,
the amount,
man.
Amount of shit in that bag was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you don't want a scenario where his girlfriend's saying, hey, can I borrow your FBOS card? And you go, it's in my foreskin. You know what I mean? And she's having to peel it back and just try and find, she's going, God, you've got too much shit in here. There's old tickets, there's chewing gum.
Here's a bloody remote control.
Oh, there's the remote control. Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah. God, I hope this room is soundproof, Jace.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's rifling through your foreskin trying to find your FBOS card.
That's not right. Yeah, a bit of change for the parking and, all that sort of stuff. And you've got your durries in.
Yeah, your durries in there, your lighter. Christ. And I often wonder, it must be a pain in the ass just in terms of from the male perspective, if you're going for a wee. You're just having to do the big peel all the time. You're having to – it's like – how would you describe it?
It's sort of like if you're on if you're on a yacht.
Yes.
And you have to pull down on that thing to get the old
sail down.
Up.
Yeah, or sail up. Yeah. You're winding it down. Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's not even taking into account the sheer visual horrendousness of
it. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm circumcised. Can I say that?
Yeah.
And, for me, I just think that's just a far more appealing look. I didn't have a choice, of course. This happened when I was a child.
Yeah.
My parents went, I don't know if I had an excessive foreskin. I may have.
Yeah.
But they went, no, whip it off.
Yeah.
I was a little baby. I didn't know better.
Yeah. Well, can I say this about, an uncircumcised penis? They always look like they're up to something.
Yeah.
Totally. They always look a little bit sus.
Mm.
Like they're walking around with a hoodie on and they're trying to hide their faces.
Yes.
Now, what,
no hoodies in the bank, please.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
To me, I see a massive foreskin on a penis and I just think, ooh, I better keep my distance from this. I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not a trustworthy one. I better not turn my back on this one.
To be honest with you, mate, I've never really been in the position where I've had to worry about being approached by a massive foreskin. You know what I mean? So I can honestly tell you that I've never walked along the street and gone, oh, hello, here's a massive foreskin.
Here we go.
Yeah, take it, maybe cross the street here. Well, he's got a massive foreskin.
Yeah, because it could be carrying a knife in there.
Well, there could be a knife in the foreskin for
sure. That's right.
One would hope it's in a sheath. Well, it's in a sheath, but
it's a sheath within the sheath. No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's – or do you make the most of what I've got here? This is what Ruth's saying. I'd love to know what the preference is, actually, from a female perspective.
Yeah.
And it's probably one of those things that will come out at 50-50, you'd imagine.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how many men out there are like us, Jose, that are circumcised in this day and age. The younger generation, I imagine, it's probably less and less.
Well, I think the au naturel kind of look now is, yeah. is very, you know, why we shouldn't excessively try and change our bodies to make other people happy. But if you've got a massive foreskin flap, you know, I'd certainly feel self-conscious about that.
Yeah. Well, at least give it a trim.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to get rid of the whole thing, but just, you know, just whip off, you know, a couple of 5 inches off the end.
Yeah, sure.
You know? If it's dragging around like a rugby sock.
Yeah.
You know.
Totally, mate. You know, I've got a little, you know, wood chopping block out the front of my house, the little axe where I do the kindling. You know what I mean? Just get it out there, just roll out the excess, get the axe, bang.
Yeah.
Get a bit of alcohol, rub it on.
Yeah.
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or on
the, or you could do what they do with the sheep.
Oh, the
with
docking.
Those, yeah, the docking with the little rings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that's quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, if you smoke cigars.
Yes.
You know, and you have those little clippers for the end of your cigar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can just drag old mate through there. And it's quite exact then. You can be quite, because you can run that up and down and go, what about here, what about here? And then that way, Ruth, you can have a bit of input on it as well.
Sure.
You know, and just moving it up and down there. And once you've made your decision,
Whack it
just
off.
Just a little guillotine there, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah.
Obviously, you've got to be careful. I wouldn't, you know, don't have too many drinks beforehand.
No. No, well, he could.
Well, he can.
I mean, if she's going to do it.
Yeah.
He can probably, I'd advise him to have a few drinks.
Yeah.
I mean, because I imagine that whipping off an excessive amount of foreskin would pinch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just make sure he's taking his lighter out of there.
Yeah. Well, you got to empty it before you do it. And also, just make sure that the actual shaft is well back in the sheath. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be cutting off the excess and the fella's actually laying across or within the excess.
Yeah, I mean, if that happens, then, you know, you'll have to break up with him at that point.
Yeah.
He's no use to you then at all.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, and don't rule out breaking up with him.
Yeah. I mean, if it grosses you out, definitely break up with him.
Yeah, but tell him.
Yeah.
Tell him that it grosses you out.
Yeah. Say, look, you've got... Your foreskin grosses me out,
yeah.
So I'm leaving you. And seriously, man, you just got to cut to the chase sometimes, Mike.
Yeah.
There's no point in pussyfooting around.
Yeah.
Your foreskin grosses me out, I'm leaving you.
Exactly, yeah. Well, what is it? Is it because I came home late? No. It's your physical defect.
Yeah.
It's your fory.
Yeah.
You know.
I hate it. You know, and I want... I just can't do it anymore.
It makes me feel sick.
Yeah. It makes me nauseous.
Do you know when we make love with the lights off?
Yes.
It's because of how you look naked.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
And, you know, I'm all for crying out during the act of lovemaking, but not it's twisted again.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
You know, that makes me just feel pity for you.
Yeah. Totally. Hey, well, I think that's tremendous advice, mate. And I hope that, what was her name again?
That's Ruth.
Oh, Ruth.
Yeah.
Ruth, I hope that is of some use to you. And I tell you what, Mike, I've really enjoyed this woman's special.
It's been bloody good, hasn't it?
Yeah. And I want to encourage women to keep writing. And we don't want to just do a one woman special. I mean, we care about all of our podcast listeners.
Absolutely. Well, and we've actually got, you know, we've got a surplus amount of questions.
So we might have to do another women special.
Well, I mean, we'll just pepper them throughout our normal sort of
podcast good.
From here on out. But, we would really love to hear back from our female listeners about the preference.
Yes. Yeah, good.
For with or without.
Yeah.
The fory. And also from a male point of view, if you've used to have one and now you don't, what do you prefer?
Sure.
Just any kind of chat about fories.
Most welcome.
We're pretty keen to hear it.
Hey, on behalf of Mike and myself, we just want to take the moment to say how much we appreciate you listening to the podcast. And another shout out to Generator.
Yeah.
Who have kindly allowed us their facilities,
yes.
And hopefully, as you say, Mike, the walls are quite thick.
Yeah.
Because we've been having some interesting discussion
this There's
afternoon.
Been some people walking past sort of...
looking in.
Yeah, but I think they're only looking in because it's a weird setup. I think other than that, they haven't heard a thing, which is a testament to the quality. the facilities here at Generator Britomart.
Absolutely, mate. Well, from Mike and myself, you take care out there. Keep that correspondence coming in until the next time. From Mike and myself, take it easy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.